today on Anchored in the Word.
So many times we exhaust all of our earthly resources, you know, trying to do this and trying to fix that, when all the time God was just waiting for us to pray and ask Him. You know, sometimes it takes more than just one prayer. You know, I'm reminded of the God says just to keep coming to me, to keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. It may take some time, but the idea is God answers prayer, and we need to keep our eyes fixed upon Him.
When I'm anchored deep in Your great love, I'm anchored deep in who You are. I'm anchored deep in Holy Word. I'm anchored deep in You, my Lord.
This is Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Coastlands in Eatontown, New Jersey, with our pastor and teacher, Bill Beckelman. Have you ever had a time when you tried everything to fix a problem yourself and then finally stopped and prayed about it? Pastor Bill shows us today that prayer should be the first thing we do. Maybe if we stepped aside and let God handle the problem, it would be taken care of way faster than in our own efforts. At the close of Pastor Bill's message, I'll be sharing with you how you can get a copy of today's broadcast of Anchored in the Word. Subscribe to the podcast or simply get in touch with us. Now here's Pastor Bill with today's edition of Anchored in the Word.
For thus says the king of Assyria, make peace with me by a present and come out to me, and every one of you eat from his own vine, and every one of you from his own fig tree, and every one of you drink the waters of his own cistern. In other words, that's what the enemy does to you. He tells you, you know what? If you go my way, things are going to be great. Things are going to be wonderful. It's not going to cost you anything. As a matter of fact, it's going to be better for you than the situation you currently find yourself in. It's going to be better. If you'll only eat that tree over there that you were told not to. You know, if you only go against. So we see the enemy lying again. And then he says, he paints the picture. You'll be able to continue life as you are if you just come to me. But then he says, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive groves and honey, that you may live and not die. But do not listen to Hezekiah, lest he persuade you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. In other words, don't listen to your leader. Have I got a plan for you? Have I got a place for you? And that's just like the enemy comes. He wants to take you. Oh, yeah, you'll continue doing your thing. But in the future, I'm going to take you somewhere else. You got to come over here to my side, and things are going to be better for you. And he was leading them off into bondage. That's a lie. He says in verse 33, has any of the gods of the nations at all delivered its land from the hand of the king of Assyria? See, they had conquered many nations. Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim and Hena and Iva? Indeed, they have delivered Samaria from my hand. See, the northern kingdom. Hey, we've already taken half of the kingdom. And all these other kingdoms. He's trying to convince them that, hey, we've got a record. We're undefeated here. But see, again, if you get your mind on a situation, and maybe something in your life has worked out 99 times in a row the same way. And then you start leaning on your own understanding and the way things have happened in the past. And we leave God out of the equation. In other words, God can change things. And God does change things. And maybe God will change things on the 100th time. Rather than leaning on my own understanding. Who among all the gods of the lands have delivered their countries from my hand? But that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem from my hand. But the people held their peace and answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was, do not answer him. I love it. The people were obedient to the king. He knew what it was coming. He had prepared them. He was a wise man. He was a man that listened to God. And I'm going to tell you something. When you're in spiritual warfare, a lot of times it involves other people. It's a lot of times really good just to keep your mouth shut. Just listen. The Bible says that we should be slow to speak, quick to listen. And there's not a better time than when you're in a situation just to be silent and to listen. Say very little. Because you find out a lot of times when you're in warfare that the things that you say you with great intentions, you may have a good biblical argument for that situation. Next thing you know, exactly what you said gets twisted around. And you wonder, how in the world did they get that from what I said? And I don't know if you know what I'm talking about or not, but if you've ever encountered that kind of warfare, that's what happens. And it's good just not to answer them. And by the way, when the devil comes knocking on your door, don't answer it. When he throws darts at you, don't entertain them. That's what happens to us. When the thought comes in, whatever it would be, that is not sin when it comes in, if it's a temptation or just a negative thought or whatever else. Don't sit there and meditate on those things. Philippians 4 tells us what to meditate, the things that we are to meditate on, and just put off the darts of the enemy. Don't listen to what they're saying. Do not answer him. In other words, when you're sitting there mulling it over in your mind, it's the same thing as answering. You're entertaining it now. You know what I'm saying? That kind of a thing. You're entertaining that. And they had the good wisdom. The king told them, do not answer him. Verse 37. Then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, Shebna the scribe and Joah the son of Asaph, the recorder, came to Hezekiah with their clothes torn and told him the words of Rabshakeh. Now, a clothes tearing was a thing of mourning. You know, that's what the Jews would tear their clothes. And chapter 19 says, and so it was, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. Like fasting, you put sackcloth on, you're just changing your life, and you're just going to go before the Lord. You see, he knew where to go in this situation. He knew where he had to go. He went into the house of the Lord. Verse 2 says, then he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. Now Isaiah, you can read the book of Isaiah. Isaiah prophesied during this time. And he's wise because he's going to go himself before the Lord, and he's going to send somebody else to go get the prophet to inquire of the Lord. And that's where we need to go when we get into these situations that we will have in life. You know, we're going to encounter some of the same things that non-believers do. You know, sickness doesn't go to just, if everybody that was, you know, if like sometimes we think, oh, they were, the reason they got sick is because they were bad or they're this or that from God. The idea is it happens to all of us at times. We didn't know where to go. Go to the Lord. So he goes into the house of the Lord. He sends some other people to get the prophet. Isaiah, verse 3 says, and they said to him, thus says Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy, for the children have come to birth, but there is no strength to bring them forth. Now, what was happening back in the end of chapter 18, it reminded me of David and when he went and Goliath was in the valley. The same, remember that? When Goliath was there and they had, it says that the whole army of Israel was shaken in their shoes. Because of this huge giant that was down there. And he would come down there every day, talk trash. And he would, you know, and they were afraid of him because he was so big. And remember, David came onto the scene, this little shepherd boy. And he was mindful of God. He didn't see that giant. Think about this. He didn't see that giant in light of himself. He saw that giant in light of the God of Israel. That's how he saw the giant. Remember how he said to the giant? This uncircumcised, does he realize that he's coming against the army of the living God? That's how he saw things. Everything that he saw was in light of God. And not of, look how big he is and look how small we are. Send a man down here. I'll take any one of you. Send your best one down here. That's what he was saying. And that's the way David saw him. And I want to tell you something. David wasn't afraid. He had seen the deliverance of his God and he began to keep his eyes fixed on God in any situation in his life, and fear wasn't there in his life. You know, David got in trouble later in life when he took his eyes off the Lord. And his eyes wandered. Remember, I'm thinking about he was on top of the palace. And his eyes wandered, and he got his eyes off the Lord, and he got himself in all kinds of trouble. Again, David was a great king, but not a perfect man. Far from that. 19:4. It may be that the Lord your God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to reproach the living God, and will rebuke the words which the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said to them, thus you shall say to your master, thus says the Lord, Do not be afraid of the words which you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Surely I will send a spirit upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. Do you realize the things that God is capable of? The things of life that we get our eyes on, and we're supposed to be people of faith. I'm reminded of something that somebody told me the other day. It's a great story about a church who built, I think it was a church structure, right? They built the whole thing in their town. They realized that they didn't have any parking. There was no parking. And so the city did, after the thing was already done, the city says, you don't have enough parking for this whole thing. So they were in trouble. The only thing they had a piece of land behind them that was like a big hill, like a, almost like a mountain thing. You can't park on a hill like that. So the pastor in the church says, look, we're going to have a prayer meeting. And we want the people to come to this meeting that have the faith to move mountains. Right? That's what he said. Now he said, if you don't have faith to move mountains, nothing against you, but don't come to the meeting. We want the people to come to this meeting that have faith to move mountains. Because they had no money to move that mountain. So they had their prayer meeting. And don't know the timing on it exactly, but not long after that, the telephone company came in, I believe it was, and they had been looking for some fill dirt for a project down the road that they were doing. And that they came and said that they surveyed around. They figured that hill right there just has enough dirt for us to fill the dirt we needed. And this was like right after. So they took the whole mountain down and they paved it for them. And then they gave them $5,000 for their trouble to go with it. So the idea is, and I think, you know what? I didn't check that story out, by the way, so I pray it's true because it's not in the Bible. But the idea is, I don't care if it's true or not because that's the way God is. I know it. He does things like that. That's our God. And that just hearing that story increased my faith, I got to tell you. And I thought, yeah, so many times we exhaust all of our earthly resources, you know, trying to do this and trying to fix that, when all the time God was just waiting for us to pray and ask him. You know, sometimes it takes more than just one prayer. You know, I'm reminded of the God says just to keep coming to me, to keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. It may take some time, but the idea is God answers prayer, and we need to keep our eyes fixed upon him. Verse 8, then the Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libna, for he heard that he had departed from Lachish. And the king heard concerning Tirhaka, king of Ethiopia, look, he has come out to make war with you. So he again sent messengers to Hezekiah, saying, thus you shall speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, do not let your God, in whom you trust, deceive you, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Look, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by utterly destroying them, and shall you be delivered? Now listen, there's something else. There's another tactic that the enemy will use against you. And he's going to try to get you to disbelieve the word of God. The word of God to them was, thus saith the Lord, I'm going to deliver this army over to you. He even told him how he was going to do it. That was the word of God. And for us, it's the Bible. There are many precious promises in the Bible. The best place to go when you're praying and you're seeking the Lord is to have your Bible there. God will give you promises in the Word. I've seen promises that have come, that have been given to me long before the things come to pass that God has given me to hold on to anchor my soul. And the enemy's going to say, oh, that you didn't hear from God. That wasn't God. That's not going to come true. Just like he was trying to get him to say, that's not what's going to happen. Don't believe your God. Verse 12, have the gods of the nations delivered those whom my fathers have destroyed? Gozan and Haran and Rephseph and the people of Eden who were in Telassar. Well, the problem with those people, they didn't serve the God we serve. Not every God is called God is the God of the universe. Where is the king of Hamath, the king of Arpad, and the king of the city of Sepharvaim, Hena, and Iva? And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. You ever get some bad news? Seriously, do you ever get something in letter form that's bad news? I love this part of the scripture. Take the letter, instead of reading it over and over and over again to be more and more upset by it, take it and just lay it before the Lord. Lay it there and say, Lord, this is what I'm facing. This is what I have before me. Whatever the case may be, he wants us to get in the habit of being that way with him. And Hezekiah received a letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. So you read it. And then Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Then Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God. You alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O God, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I pray, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, you alone. Now, so many times when we get in situations, we feel like we need to talk about it. And I'm not saying we shouldn't do that. I'm just saying we should talk about it to God first before I go pick another Christian to talk about it to, or somebody. You know what I mean? Just go and lay your case before the Lord. And by the way, you notice that he says, you're God of the universe. God doesn't need to be told who he is. When we pray so many times, it's a reminder to me who he is, who I'm talking to. And then it says, verse 20, then Isaiah the son of Amoz sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus says the Lord God of Israel, because you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. Because you have prayed to me, I have heard. How many times do we miss God's in a situation because we basically leave him out of a situation? We can solve it on our own. We're too afraid to go to him. I love the answer there. Because you have prayed to me, I have heard. This is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, has despised you, laughed you to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head behind your back, whom you have reproached and blasphemed. Against whom have you raised your voice and lifted up your eyes on high? Against the Holy One of Israel. By your messengers you have reproached the Lord, and said, by the multitude of my chariots I have come up to the height of the mountains, to the limits of Lebanon. I will cut down its tall cedars and its choice cypress trees. I will enter the extremity of its borders to its fruitful forest. I have dug and drunk strange water. With the soles of my feet I have dried up all the brooks of defense. Did you not hear long ago how I made it? From ancient times that I formed it. Now I have brought it to pass that you should be for crushing fortified cities into heaps of ruins. Therefore their inhabitants had little power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were as the grass of the field and the green herb, as the grass on the housetops and grain blighted before it is grown. But I know your dwelling place, your going out and your coming in, and your rage against me, because your rage against me and your tumult have come up to my ears. Therefore I will put my hook in your nose and my bridle in your lips, and I will turn you back by the way which you came. This shall be a sign to you. You shall eat this year such as grows of itself, and in the second year what springs from the same, also the third year sow and reap. Plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them, and the remnant who have escaped of the house of Judah shall take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go a remnant, and those who escape from Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor build a siege mound against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and he shall not come into this city, says the Lord, for I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. And of course, verse 35 will show us that always happens, God's word comes to pass. And it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses all dead. And Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went away, returned home, and remained at Nineveh. Now it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the temple of Nisroch, his god, that his sons, Adrammelech and Sherezer, struck him down with a sword, and they escaped into the land of Ararat. Then Ir-Shaddan, his son, reigned in his place. You don't mess with the living God. Or his people, for that matter. You know, so many people have messed with Israel. I mean, Israel is still the apple of God's eye. And the people that come against Israel are going to face a demise. That's all there is to it. The scriptures that state that those that bless Israel will be blessed and those that curse Israel will be cursed are still in effect today. And the same thing is happening today. And all the people are around Israel are now talking how bad they are and what they're going to do, and we're going to wipe them off the face of the map. It's funny because they don't even recognize Israel on the map, if you know that. So I don't. That's kind of. But they're going to wipe them out. They're going to come against Israel, this small little tiny nation. And you think they would have learned from 1948 when the thing first came to pass and Israel became a nation, and all the nations around them tried to wipe them out, and God was with them. And God is with his people. I believe we have that same promise that they have. And so what is our part? Well, as Christians, we shouldn't be afraid. We shouldn't be afraid of things. Everything that happens to us is Father filtered. All the things we go through in life are not to harm us, but to somehow better us, to sharpen us, to make us more usable by God. And we see it as, oh no, catastrophes come across. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. Chicken Little, remember that one when you were a kid? Hitting the head with an acorn. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. And isn't that how we get sometimes in certain situations? And we miss out what God has for us. He doesn't give up on us. He knows our frame. But we waste time, I think. And we miss out on the things, the mountain moving that God wants to do in our lives to manifest himself. And so we can learn from this King Hezekiah. Not a perfect guy, we'll see at the beginning there in verse 20, but did have a prayer life. He was a king who prayed. He's a king who sought the Lord. And we have the same privilege today that the king had, King Hezekiah had, as Christians. We can approach the throne of God by the blood of Jesus. It's a privilege that we have. There's nothing too big in your life. Nothing is too big for God. What is said about him is nothing is too hard for him. He does all things well. Nothing is impossible with God. And so another reminder tonight for us, in these days, that we've got a God that knows exactly what's going on, who's outside of space and time, whose very plan is unfolding before us. So don't get too worked up about all the things you're reading about in the news and things that are going around the world. You know what I'm saying? God's plan is going to come to pass, and he wants to use you in the process.
That's all we have time for on today's edition of Anchored in the Word. We hope you've been blessed by Pastor Bill Beckelman's teaching in the book of 2 Kings. Pastor Bill will be back soon with more life-giving lessons from this Old Testament book, but in the meantime, you can find additional messages on our website, anchoredintheword.com. You'll also find a link to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, keeping you up to date with sound biblical teaching wherever you go. If social media is a part of your daily life, be sure to find us on Facebook and like our page to discover all the exciting things happening at Anchored in the Word and Calvary Chapel Coastlands. Feel free to contact us as well. We're always eager to hear from our listeners. Let us know how we can pray for you as you continue on this journey of faith. Send us an email on the website or give us a call at 732-544-2225. That number again is 732-544-2225. If you're in the Eatontown area and are looking for a church home, we welcome you to join us in person for our weekly services here at Calvary Chapel Coastlands. We meet each Sunday at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. and Thursday at 7:30 p.m. Find location information and directions through our website. Again, that address is anchoredintheword.com. We're so glad you joined us today for our continuing study through the book of 2 Kings. Pastor Bill and the entire production team hope that you stay moored in sound doctrine and anchored in the Word.